Good morning, everybody. It's 9:02. It's Tuesday, October 8th. We're gathered for a general discussion in the Board of County Commissioners Conference Room. All three commissioners are present. Our first agenda item is a facility services quarterly update. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. So what we were just talking about was the radio console upgrade for dispatch for the sheriff's office, as well as it'll upgrade the radios for community corrections, parks, general government, and public works. So we finally got our proposal from Motorola, which is a time-consuming process. They finally built in the redundancies that we were asking for. So we have that. We're just waiting now on the actual contract. There's some references to some other agencies that they need to pull out. They were using a boilerplate. So once we get that, I'll bring it to the board for signature.
Do they still share frequencies? I know years ago, we shared frequencies with Copeland.
Yeah.
They were both on the same frequency. But now, are we going to have, will Josephine County as a whole have numerous frequencies for?
Yeah, we're licensed.
Public works will have one and parks will have one, so they're not talking over each other?
Yeah, exactly. Each one's licensed for a different frequency.
And Motorola is still, I mean, back then, it's been 40 years ago, Motorola was the go-to people.
Yeah.
But does Verizon or anything, do they offer that through cell towers or any kind of radio communication through it?
This is
cell tower system or?
This piece, there's some other companies that do mountaintop type stuff. This is for all the equipment that's in town and the actual software and server, for lack of a better term, that the dispatchers actually use.
Okay.
So Motorola is kind of the go-to for this type of thing. And then we also wanted to stay in line with what the city's doing in case there's ever a merger there. So
what's the cost implications for renewing where we are? They have the 911 center down the hall. Matt's moving.
Yes.
So we currently are connected through that system. Now with it moving and us connecting where we are, I know that at one point we talked about, is there options of moving to the other building, options of moving to the 911 center, staying where put. What are the cost implications for all of those?
Well, the sheriff and the city, at least at this point, are satisfied, at least that's my understanding, to stay separated. He's going to stay at this building. They're going to go. There's really no cost difference for us. The only difference would be if we were to move, we would need a microwave hop from their new building over to our existing building, which ballpark 50 grand, 100 grand, right in that area. With them staying put, it's really just a needed upgrade, and there's really no cost difference, if that's what you're looking for.
So are we some sort of redundant 911 center, if that one?
Mm-mm.
No?
No, they transfer calls to us. We're considered a secondary.
So we're in the chain, and it's unbreakable. You need them both.
Yeah. The call's still going to 911, then they transfer.
Okay.
The only thing that they were doing for us is recording the calls. And now in this upgrade, we're looking at having our own recording equipment, because there was some debate on whether having the recordings recorded over copper line was reliable. So we're going to maintain our own recording equipment on site for
the sheriff. Who's using the copper line?
We would be if they were still recording our calls.
And we're not going to be if we record our own?
Right.
So the concern I have there is those calls are recorded from the time there somebody places that second one.
So 911 will record when they receive it.
Okay.
And then the transfer will take place.
Who's recording the transfer to talk about what's exchanged?
Then as far as the phone piece goes, I can't really speak to that, the whole amount, because that's IT in IT's wheelhouse. We are basically picking up the recording once it becomes an RF, a radio dispatch situation, so.
So we're only recording radio, not the phones?
My piece, yes. IT is through ShoreTel, I believe, and the VoIP has got something set up, and I think 911 is still gonna record part, if not all of that.
So to clarify one of your questions, Dan, Parks is not on their own frequency. They share with Community Corrections and Animal Control. No, it used to be Animal Control. It was a local frequency. But Parks and Community Corrections are on the same frequency. Public Works is on a different one.
That's still within the county's.
Correct. We used to be the network for other systems. We're not anymore. Okay. We're just county.
It used to be, like I said, Copeland was on with Rogue Valley Heating.
We've lost all our partners.
And Stahl had two different frequencies within Rogue Valley Heating. But valley-wise, when you go to the repeater, we could hear what Copeland was having to say, you know, dispatching asphalt and stuff, and we were trying to get in.
Yeah, and that's a bad day if we have that.
Yeah, but that was like, that's a long time ago. I just wonder if it was still the
right,
same.
Right, yeah.
But we had that with internal counties. You'll hear the parks get on their Osprey loop to so-and-so, we need toilet paper and something else, and I think Bob came over for a visit, and you're like,
we need toilet paper,
And I'm like, I got a guy in custody, could I borrow the line?
And that general government frequency does get used, and Corrections is using it probably more than anyone. And so we've made some accommodations to try to keep that traffic from walking on each other. And at some point, we're going to have to break them apart, if possible.
So what we're doing now is just upgrading
the equipment?
Yeah, we're actually, currently there's only one dispatch console that the sheriffs use for dispatching. So this will upgrade that one, replace it, and then it'll add a second console. So, because as they ramp up, they need, you know.
For redundancy and future expansion.
Yeah, because they're getting all the traffic over to one person, basically.
Right. Well, I see value in recording our own stuff from the liability standpoint, because a lot of that stuff could be used as evidence, I'm going to assume.
Because the DA's office will request certain things.
It's always been recorded. It's a matter of who.
Right.
And so you can always go back and look at the phone calls or the radio calls. There was a situation in the 911 center. This first came about because I was in a 911 board meeting upgrade and got an update that a power outage caused two consoles in the 911 center to go fizzle. And in order for them to put them back together, they literally were getting on like Craigslist, and they borrowed one from Brookings, or it was somewhere on the coast that had upgraded their radios already and had one piece they could give. And then separately, they literally were getting online and buying old parts, eBay or something like that. And they're like, if this happens to the sheriff's office, we're going to be in the same boat of trying to find parts and pieces from random places.
It's that old.
So as they updated their stuff, the recommendation was that we upgrade to the same so that our systems are compatible if anything were ever to...
Yeah. Well, and my question, maybe not to you specific, Ryan, maybe to the commissioners or to the sheriff. If the community asks, why isn't the 911 all sitting in one earthquake-proof building that just got revamped and new technology thrown in?
Right.
Why are we still hanging on to this separation?
There's a conflict.
Is there advantages, pros and cons?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's personnel coming to an agreement to be under one roof. Cost-wise, whether they're sitting over there or over here, we still are providing that dispatch for the sheriff, so this cost would stay the same whether they're over there or over here.
Right.
So if they decide next week they want to move, these consoles would go over
there. If this building goes down in a major earthquake, this one could dispatch sheriff?
No.
In the future, since we're buying compatible equipment?
No, because 911 and the city have chosen to completely separate themselves from our system. They will no longer have communication.
So they'll be stuck with cell phones or whatever, backup communication.
But I thought part of this was adding the redundancy so the communication does go back and forth. So the wires were still supposed to go in the ground no matter what, so that we could communicate between the two buildings no matter what, so that if there was a move, that it could go easily.
We're doing everything on our end to keep that connection. currently, if 911 wanted to dispatch, they can basically communicate with Mount Bluey, which from there gets on our microwave ring, and they can dispatch or communicate with Public Works and so on. When they move, they've chosen to no longer connect with Bluey to our equipment at all.
Who makes that decision on the city side?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was the police chief.
There's things behind it, and there's things behind it, and as a county, we're going to have to come up with a plan because...
That sounds like an emergency management issue
and,
as well.
And I believe, and Sarah is working on, she's kind of the go-between because she's split
stuck in between.
Yeah. So we've actually met and discussed different things, and I know she's working towards trying to get everybody on that same communication level.
Just seems better in the end.
Yeah, I think for the citizens, it's...
We're living in a county of 83,000 people that has two school boards.
Because
they don't get along.
One thing that you should know is that in 2015, Homeland Security did a study of our radio system in the county and made some recommendations.
When they quit laughing.
And it's something that since I've come into office, Chief Hoke, who depends on our systems to get across the mountain, has been saying, what are we going to do about this system? We need to do something as a whole. And so...
Well, and certainly in the future, there should be grants for that and regional answers and collaborators and so on.
Yeah, and we're always looking for those type of things. The plus side is the county has a system. I don't feel that, I mean, the cities, I guess, is a different type of system. Our microwave system that we have is much more robust.
Certainly, with our geography and...
Yeah, and the coverage is...
Square miles.
Yes, much better. We're in a position where we need to upgrade, you know, get some new equipment up on the mountaintops, those type of things. We're not in the same situation that Jackson County is doing now.
The 23 or 28 million?
Yeah, that's just huge. I mean, we have established mountaintop sites, a microwave ring. There's things we could do to improve it. But for what we need and what we're doing, I think just replacing
the city could get by with CB radios if they had to, because as far as they go,
there's no mountains.
They can't. So remember that city has 911, and 911 dispatches for Wolf Creek, mm-hmm. Williams. They're the backup for ODF. They have AMR all over the county. Mm-hmm. So
there's a few more veins,
and they're doing a lot of that through copper wire line, through the phone system. And then it goes over air, where ours is not dependent on a wire being cut.
You're just trying to put the copper anaconda out of business, aren't you?
That's it. It's a conspiracy.
Pretty mild conspiracy.
But for this piece, it's just the consoles and the equipment in the building for the county. And it's about 350, could be as much as 375, but we're pretty comfortable at that 350 mark, and it is budgeted, so we're moving forward.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, we beat that one pretty good.
Yeah. How about Park Street? Park Street, the property over there, and doing demolition as opposed to renovation for rental.
On Allen Creek?
We are on...
This is the riverfront property behind the fairgrounds.
Former McIntyre property.
Blair property.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you talking physically the creek?
Well, the creek. Yeah, the creek.
Yes.
Not the road. Street.
It is on the creek, yes.
Right.
I was asked to get some bids on what it would take to make it rentable. By the time we put a roof on it, flooring, those two are a must. We're basically over $20,000 by the time we paint, floor it, and roof it. We're in the $20,000-$25,000 category.
What would it rent for? $1,000 a month?
I believe, it's still going to be in that same ballpark that
Blair was. So it puts us out before we even get our money back at 2 years.
How many bedrooms are there?
Two very small bedrooms.
Yeah, that's a little
that's
bitty
old?
Place.
It's a tiny
it's
room.
An old house.
Yeah.
Very old house.
Yeah.
We did 25 different environmental samples because whether we tear it down or rent it, we wanted to know if there's asbestos, lead, those type of things.
Right.
There's lead paint, very little asbestos, like less than 4 square feet, so that's a plus.
Yeah.
I've met with Grants Pass Fire, and they're interested, they're bringing it to their training committee for a learn to burn
yeah.
type deal. They'd also like to do training in the building prior, if possible.
Sure.
And for me, any kind of activity that's there that keeps the transient population from their starting to pop in. Yeah.
Burn to learn, that's a good one.
Well, that's riverfront. That's a nice area.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see any on that particular thing at cost something analysis or whatever. You would be 2 to 3 years before you get your money back, and that's if nothing happened in the 2 to 3 years and you collected rent every month. I don't see it as being something that we need to keep in inventory, because I think within 2 to 3 years we'll probably have other plans for that whole property, maybe.
Well, and the other building's brand new. It's sitting in the middle of that property.
And we're actually currently starting to use that building and have no plans to get rid of that. That's a solid building. We're using it for a spray booth right now for painting doors for multiple projects we have going on.
You bet.
Got any room for a Buick Skylark?
Lots of room.
Well, I hope you enjoy the lighting. I spent a lot of time on it.
And make sure while you're in there painting, all painters like to hear that furnace running, and that just drives me nuts. You ruin that furnace in one session of lacquer doors, and it's done.
They put a ductless split in there, I think. No. Just in the little office. Wall heater or something. That's right.
Yeah. No, it's got a
Gas furnace in it.
Yeah, it's got a gas furnace in the shop.
Big shop area? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a contractor once doing drywall that decided they wanted to turn on the unit while they were sanding.
We had a very, very, very high dollar contractor who got to buy about $15,000 worth of equipment because he wouldn't listen.
Yeah, just suck all that stuff in.
We'll put old furnaces in there and you can pump them. We don't care what you run through.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, I want that big one going. Okay. Get back. It wouldn't transfer heat energy.
Yeah,
he coated all the coils with paint.
It's done. Yeah.
It's done. You can't clean it off. There's no heat transfer anymore. Heat pumps rely on heat transfer. Sorry.
So I got contacted. We all did kind of. It was one of those emails over the weekend of the neighbor. Some homeless kind of went at the neighbor's wife behind in the backyard. And they called the police, and so I had recommended that I sent to you a trespass letter. We can sign a trespass letter with the city, and so if anyone's contacted on the property outside of our staff, they can be arrested for trespass.
Right, and I haven't signed it because you had also copied legal.
And you didn't follow up with them to see if they had it.
So, I've asked that question. I haven't received any.
I don't believe it falls under a public building open to the public premise.
And where is this location here?
No. The learn to burn spot.
Yeah, same spot.
I think it's more about the language in the document.
That's the city's boilerplate that they use for every property. And if you sign it, they will take action if we're not there.
And I'm more than willing to sign it to do that.
Yeah. I think we should for any property that's not a...
Yeah.
Well, and that one in particular, it'd be nice to spend $1,000 or whatever and put a camera system in there and a recording system so people knew that it was not unmonitored property.
Yeah, we actually reactivated the alarm on the shop. So there's no cameras, but we have motion detectors and door sensors on the shop itself.
Right.
We could add a camera looking at the property. There's so many areas where they can enter, being on the creek. We're looking at repairing a section of fence that the neighbor was concerned about that makes sense. It's right by the walk path.
Yeah.
And we'll probably do that. And the street light at the end of the street was burned out. I guess they were unable to get...
Civic power?
Yeah. So we're getting...
I'll have my wife call them. They just changed the one in front of my house.
Perfect.
Right.
Yeah. No, we've actually made calls and it's on their
on to-do their list,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Open Dave Reeves out.
Well, that gate's probably fed from the house too. So when the house goes down, you may have to refeed that gate.
Yeah.
The power may go down to that.
I was hoping it came from the shop.
Yeah, I really don't think it does.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Bummer.
Yeah. I think I might know someone who knows.
Yeah, yeah. So as far as the trespass, I'm more than willing to get that in motion. I thought we were waiting for legal to
this
weigh in on it.
This was 3 or 4 weeks ago. I don't know why we wouldn't have had a response by now, and I don't see
pretty
the harm
simple.
In doing
turn around and think.
Do you guys have a problem with them having a trespass warning on that property?
No.
We've done them in the past.
We encourage that.
Yep.
Yeah, we have done them in the past.
So. I would do it.
Okay.
Yep.
So we'll
get
that going.
Through on that.
Yep, you bet.
All you gotta do is take it by the city records, drop it off with them, they'll get it entered in.
Yep.
So if the police are called by the neighbors with another issue, the police can take action on anyone they find on the property.
Perfect. Yep.
That's good.
So we'll do that.
Remind your staff not to sleep there anymore.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, going back to the house, I am too, for a learn to burn or even the police to do a SWAT.
If they want to use more exercises ahead of time, more power to it. Then the last straw would be, well, they clean the mess up. They burn to learn. We want it all cleaned up.
Well, Public Works has agreed to do the actual demo, whether it's burned or not burned. They basically would use it as training for a piece of their equipment, the excavator or something along those lines.
All right.
So there would still be some charge to facilities, you know, because of the gas tax dollar, or however that works.
But they'll reduce the amount of money we would have spent if they burn it down.
Yeah, and then Public Works is only
training officers.
Yeah,
yeah. And then Public Works is only charging 50% of what their labor hours would be. So it's kind of a win.
Lucky
sure.
you.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm waiting to hear back if they want to burn it down. I'm sure if they know they can do training.
Generous of Public Works.
Well, how long? Be careful before you. Give permission for the training in advance. The Washington Hospital had that permission, and it was a year or two of, I don't know, it was a long time commitment of training. Yeah. So be clear. I mean, that
the
means
data.
They're, so the trainings will be tearing out walls, rescue, putting things in. It could be the police doing
scenarios
with pellets.
And I kind of wanted to have an answer on the learn to burn with a date before I agreed to the training.
Right. Yeah, it's got to be within 6 months or
something
short.
It has to be a time frame on it.
Yeah, so we don't want to sit and wait a year.
Yeah, so we kind of know what we're dealing with. Because we haven't boarded the property up, anything like that, and we need to know if there's going to be activity going on over there.
Yeah.
So.
Or lack thereof.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
The arena, we are looking at doing a second phase on the arena now that the roof is keeping it dry. Fields has a bunch of siding. That's been milled from forestry logs. That was arranged by a prior commissioner, so I'm not sure what board links, anything like that. My understanding is that it's the right size and the right amount. So we're moving forward. I'm working with Strauss.
I think they milled more than what was going to be necessary, and then anything that's left over, Fields gets.
Okay.
That's what.
You think the understanding was?
Strictly hearsay. I was not part of that.
That's what I'm hearing.
A great idea to do that. Cut the timber that we didn't sell. We had three stands that did not sell.
Let's
use it. Good idea.
Yeah, and the board links sound right. So I think we're in good shape there. The big hurdle is what to do with the existing siding. They're interested in, Fields is interested in taking that siding. The sticking point for us is it has lead paint. So there's some liability if we say, okay, yeah, you can have
the siding. Can they sign a release if they know they're getting lead paint and it transfers the liability over to them?
Yeah, and it's a pretty low amount. But yeah, I was going to work with legal and see.
Lead paint's not a big deal anymore.
Whatever we can do to make it easy.
You just encapsulate it.
Whatever we can do to make it easy and not overburden it with a lot of.
I have no problem with Fields taking it.
Is that just big old refs on stuff? What's on there now?
There's a lot of different layers of paint, and if they're willing to tear it off and haul it away, I'm all for it. I just want to make sure that, you know, if lead paint starts blowing off the back of the truck when they're hauling it, that we're not
liable.
We're not liable.
Sure.
So.
I bet the rings on that wood is really sweet.
Well, good wood.
It's old. I bet that's really good.
I'm still working with James Lowe.
Okay.
And the schools, because they're getting ready to tear the roof off of Redwood School. And I said, don't wad it up and throw it out there on the thing. We want that roofing off of Redwood School. The metal roofing, and we'll use that for the livestock barns and the auction arena and all that stuff where all that park paper is blowing all over and falling off there. We can check the sheeting on it, put down felt, and just use those metal panels in there.
That's perfect for it.
Yeah. And it's red. It's kind of a barn red anyway.
It's a great reuse.
And so, but I told him, I tried to get, I was late on all the stuff they took off of the Food and Friends because that had a metal roof on it. And I was late. I went over there and it was all wadded up. You know, roofers get these.
Rip it.
Yeah, let's rip and tear it, kick it out of the way, man. I'm tough. And then we go get drink a beer. But they just wanted it all, and then it makes a big mess. But I told them, I save those panels out there because we want them, and we'll be able to cut them to length.
Yeah, and
he's well, you're gonna have to deal with the leaks, and I said, we'll deal with the leaks.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Not the roofing.
We'll take that chance. Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that. we'll that's a good size roof, that 4-H barn area.
Right, right.
I mean, there's some high cost, yeah, to try
right,
to
right.
roof
and
that.
We can repurpose that, and actually
huge.
A metal roof is only as good as the felt that's under it, so you put good felt down and good sheathing to hold it down, and who cares if it's gonna, if you have a drip in the 4-H bar?
Yeah.
I wonder if some big roofing company would lay that stuff down and put their name on the building or something.
And that's a possibility.
Yeah.
I don't think we should go to Lawless.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not picking one, I'm just saying. We might be able to get someone to name
the
building.
I don't think he'd be a player, but
yeah.
I think that would be great.
But there's a good possibility.
Yeah, sure.
And that's just not that hard to deal with. You know, I roofed my house over there, so it's not a big deal.
Okay. Yeah, if we had a trailer or something, we could park over there for them to shove it in.
I could ask Pressure Point that did the roof on the arena.
Yeah, they may.
That's a pretty big company. They might be up for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're looking at that along with replacing the windows, cutting back the loft area inside to actually increase the size of the floor space of the arena. It's also the loft is settled and bowed, and rather than try to fix it, it seems like for events it would be beneficial to open it up. So everybody's on board with that.
Doctor that I see over in Medford, and I had an appointment last week. Doesn't want to know how I'm feeling. She's high coming on that arena. She's a horse.
Oh yeah.
So her daughter's in the equestrian program over in Medford.
Yeah.
And they're
coming
always
over.
Said that they're really looking at Grants Pass, you know, and they say, yeah, well, how are you doing on that? Well, what's going on there?
And yeah.
We'd really like to move some of our events over there. I said, well, we're marching ahead on that. We've got a new roof on it. We've got some pretty serious plans on that arena. So.
Yeah, and I think with this phase, hopefully, you know, it's going to start looking like mm-hmm. something. You know, we start putting the siding on, and we're looking at using in-house staff. As the siding comes in, we're going to stage it in the old dairy barn, old BMX mm-hmm. area, and they're going to stain it. So then as it goes up, it's already stained, and then we're just doing touch-up on it. Mm-hmm. But we have to pull it out of the whole project. There's some seismic lateral bracing, basically building secondary walls on the building before we side it. So mm-hmm. that's the biggest piece we have to do, is get that done before we side it. So we're getting that. The windows, there's some ventilation windows that are in it, and along with the siding. And so we'll pull that out and get some bids on that. So.
Good.
Brian, a couple of the projects that kind of were going on, it made me realize that there's probably a lot in the works that we aren't aware of.
Okay.
We weren't liaison to your department, so we don't know the history of what has been agreed to or not. Where in other areas there was messages being saying that I'll pass that on to the other commissioners, it wasn't. So I assume there may be some of those with your department as well. And I'm wondering if there's a way that, you know, I'd like to get an update on what all projects are kind of hanging out there and where they're at. Is Ambassador wrapped up?
Yeah.
The last time I saw there was still paint tape on the ground.
Yeah, we're just doing the finishing painting, and we're doing that in-house. And that's kind of a reoccurring theme these days, is more is being done in-house. So some of these details of the projects tend to linger longer than I would like. But yeah, that's done. It's, you know, small little touch-up.
And it's substantially done, just a little bit of cosmetics.
Exactly.
And I do appreciate you getting the veterans thing done prior to their car show thing.
Yes.
Lisa in quite a tizzy, and I said, just, you know, and it's not going to happen until it happens. And when it happens, you'll go, boy, it's done.
Yeah. But
and that, it worked.
That'd be nice to have what Lily's talking about for the end of the year update, that we had a...
Yeah, and I try to keep...
Maybe it should be part of the quarterly report, you know, keep us up to date. I think
everything that's going on in the background, because, like, you know...
If you can generate a project list, as Chris was saying, and where we are, like we're 40% or we're 80% or whatever.
And that's the ones that I typically, like today, I try to bring forward.
Right.
The big, bigger ticket, you know.
But where are we at with the key locks and...
The key lock project, that piece, is done. Okay. It was exterior only, was what it was.
So there was never going to be an interior?
No.
Okay.
Well, obviously long term, that's what we want to do. But the budgeted project was to do the exterior locks.
Okay. That's more like what I'd like brought back, is to hear what all those projects are. And
so you don't have the expectation of the whole bill, of the whole thing. You know that it's going to be in phase, right?
And
I don't know. I have no updates on what all is out there pending, and that's what I'd like to know. Like, I saw cameras getting installed, and I am curious, what's that about? So I'm not asking for answers today.
No,
I'm asking that all those projects that are going, that we can find out what all's going that we don't know about. The DA's office was agreed upon last year.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, wait a second, what all else is going on here, and what's the bigger picture, you know? So how many other projects are out there that we don't know about?
Yeah, and I wouldn't say there's many, if any, at this point, because now that the transition has happened, you guys are more in the loop of the bigger projects.
Movement meeting?
Yeah. Cameras and card access, those are probably the two that were still being finished up. There's, you know, when you say projects, are you talking big ticket, property reserve? I mean, we do a lot of projects. Right now, it's kind of crazy, juggling act. Our staff is constantly doing, building a wall here, setting up an office, because as each department ramps up, there's no space.
I would like to see those kind of lists at the quarterly update. What of those walls and buildings and movings and stuff did you get done this term? What is pending? What are projects coming up? What are bigger term planning stuff? What is new requests coming in? I don't know the demand on your office. I don't know what kind of stuffs are out there. And so, you know, when I first came in office, I had said, talked to you about wanting to make sure we had a software to track it. You know, because I know that when you put a service request and you get an email back that says a service request, but there's not an idea of how long. But there's also been a request from departments to have an idea of like a bid. Is it cheaper to go in-house or is it cheaper to go outside? And how are we tracking those things if we don't know all is going?
Typically, that's what I was, you know, that kind of falls on us, and we decide what's best based on the bids we get, and if we can get bids. Software, that's another issue. We're currently changing software in my department. We generate about 6,500 service requests a year. Mm-hmm. So there's a ton going on. A lot of it I consider just daily, day-to-day stuff. I'd be happy to fill you in on any and all if you want.
Are you doing the wall changing and all that out there at the airport?
No, we do very little at the airport. The only time we get involved is with the property reserve type projects.
Okay.
Re-roof, we did some ADA bathrooms out there.
Right. I know you did the bathroom, but there was something that came across the emails about they were tearing out some walls, and I'm going to probably see that tonight because I'm going out to an airport board meeting anyway.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Larry kind of does his own thing out there.
Okay.
Well, and I don't think we need all 6,100 updates on the door sticking or the tables creaking. But yeah, the major projects that are displacing people or inconveniencing the public or...
The ones that are public facing.
Well, and honestly, I wouldn't mind a report of how many of those table creakings and door creakings you fixed too. Even just a number of, we had this many maintenance routines that were service requests from departments this quarter.
Kind of like Nate does with how many calls for service they have and how many calls come in.
Yeah. We had 3,000 at the courthouse and we had many at the...
Yeah. Might help the board understand how the dynamics of your department.
Yeah, I would be happy to do that. And I did that for a number of years. I'd bring quarterly reports showing how many service requests of each type to which building.
It's a warm up to all of a sudden say, I need two more people. And they go, well, why? We don't know anything about you doing over there.
Right.
At least you have some kind of a number to put.
What about all of it?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
That's pretty much all I have. We touched on kind of the projects we're working on in-house, and that's taken up a lot of time. We're starting to do those and board ups.
I need a battery in my wall clock.
Yeah. Those are the easy ones.
I saw that.
Those are the easy ones.
Yeah. I'm on Hawaii time.
And we have some newer staff that we're able to take care of some of the little stuff like that. And then the more senior staff is building walls at the juvenile building to create two new offices, redoing judges' chambers, those type of things, remodeling a bathroom at Parks. They have no place for a break area at Parks, so their bathroom was oversized. We basically split it in half because they were doing dishes in the bathroom.
I guess, you know, when I was in business, I figured that my bathroom was always used for a break room.
Yeah.
Spend more time in there than they did out in the shop.
Well, we made it official. We put a wall in, so yeah.
I put a window in mine.
There may be sanitation issues by washing your dishes where you're using the restroom.
Yes. So we
not to them. Not to
Kramer showed us that. Yeah. Shouldn't have a garbage.
Can't get them to wash their hands. That's a coffee cup.
Yeah. So staffing is an issue for us. My custodial supervisor retired. I've had two custodians leave, so we're trying to refill those. We're trying to backfill a maintenance position.
Are you on a level playing field with custodial services elsewhere? Are they leaving because of money or just hard to find anybody? I mean,
They're leaving because of money. Typically, if I go back 10 years, we were a few dollars more per hour at the county. Now they can go work at a fast food place during the day and make the same amount of money. So trying to recruit is fairly difficult.
Yeah. Let's take a look at that. I know it's an issue, but we've got a custodial staff, to me, they get a routine and they know where all the dirt is. They know where all the dust is. And so they, after a while,
right.
You know, and you have to retrain somebody every 4 or 5 months.
And we also get them CGIS cleared for the areas they're working in.
Right.
The sheriff doesn't want just anybody coming in, you know, cold turkey cleaning their area that they're working on and investigating.
Can't legally.
Legally. When the guy puts on his resume that he lived there for 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I used to live here.
We get those.
Why do you want to clean the jail? Oh, I used to live here.
You get those. I know it. Like the back of my hand. Yeah. So I may be bringing some more staff requests forward, but first we got to fill the spots, and I can bring documentation of the reasons why if we go there. So, do you have any particular projects or questions for me?
No, I was going to bring up later the movement meeting progress, and so I don't know if, you missed the last meeting, right?
I wasn't there last
week. But we seem to come to some general consensus on the Justice Building being the first one that we need to move chess pieces around on, and got some ideas of square footage of need, and are kind of getting ready to ask the board, hey, can we go out and have a space planner look at this now and look at what those areas would really look like so that we can look at the, then identify the cost. Mm-hmm. But I think it had finance moving that way and legal moving this way and then the DA at the other end. And that was just kind of the second floor plan that we were working on, not right. the lower level or the court side.
I think we all need to be mindful that we are losing a considerable amount of revenue when they move out.
$65,000 a year.
We're going to lose revenue and then spend on it. It's going to, this gap is going to get real big real fast.
We need to sell something.
Yeah, and that directly affects my department.
That's why we have contingencies and...
Right. Because that revenue comes into our department to offset utilities and so forth, so we'll lose that. So,
okay. Yeah, but there's some really good moves of moving IT in this building.
I'm not saying we just need to be mindful of it because it's going to get pretty big pretty fast.
I am curious on one other thing. So I haven't heard a consistency on the back lot still being a secure lot. And... so something to keep in mind is we may actually need a door or a keypad on the door that gets to the ramp. So there's a restriction of going that direction.
Which door?
The door to the ramp at the top of the ramp.
Okay.
The
to exit leave way. The building?
Correct.
Right.
That if, or as the door on this end get a lock on it or something, because public access is legal. And when I was talking to Arthur, he said that by financing them going that way, it's no problem because it's just employees. No public goes that way. But the public does go to legal. And as much as every time we ask, they say we're not public facing, the public goes into legal all the time. And especially with Wally being an elected official. Yeah.
And that's what we were thinking of leaving him here in this hallway.
Okay.
Because it left that public face.
Got it, cool. Right. But for finance, maybe if it's just employee only, but still guarding and protecting access to that secure lot. So Arthur's like, well, yeah, because IT can just get deliveries up that ramp. I said, no, they can't. There's no delivery truck that accesses that back secure lot. It's a matter of they either go down through the basement and up the elevator and through, or they meet them at the back lot and they escort them through. But you have to basically consider that back lot is off access to public. So what are those implications on that move? And he hadn't thought in those terms yet.
There is certain deliveries that take place in the back lot, but usually they're met by like treasury or clerk. They're met in the lot for dropping off ballot envelopes.
Correct.
And those type of things.
But they don't get access in on their own. Somebody
right.
has to go let them in.
Right. Correct.
And
should
and
we have a, because we have so much stuff that comes and goes out of this building,
stuff.
Would it be, have a shipping and receiving spot? That all shipping and receiving goes through a spot?
Instead of different departments?
Why did everybody say, well, I'll meet you here and I'll meet you there?
A lot of it can go right into the mail room down in the basement. The deliveries, they have access to that.
Come right off of C Street?
And right in, you know, and if it's going to be a larger delivery, yeah, a larger delivery, they'll have to coordinate. How they want to work that.
But if we just had, you know, because we get stuff here, come into the board office and so on and so forth, but I'm not sure. That is a thought.
Yeah.
If freight is an issue, I see what Commissioner Morgan is trying to say, that, you know, we're not just going to have everybody just know the keypad and come into the back lot because it's secure.
Right.
What it's there for.
Yeah. And I think that...
I mean, if Commissioner Morgan worried about somebody taking a Prius, I think she's okay with that. I don't think that's going to
happen. They might take the 57 Chevy.
They might.
No, but judges have an expectation. I mean, at some point, the whole parking, when they move out, too, needs to be redefined,
that should be on
redesigned.
The movement meetings.
Yes, there's there is some people in the back lot that shouldn't be parking in the back lot,
correct.
In my opinion. But until the city moves out, I didn't see the purpose to revamp it and then do it again.
So assign and reassign everything.
Yeah, so once they relocate, then we'll look at all the parking.
Are they going to take?
Did they give you a new date on that? Did anybody hear?
I just read it in the paper that they're not moving out anytime soon.
Well, they only said the end of the year, but then they were promising October, and now it looks more like end of the year again.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Which is still within the times.
Yeah, if I was betting.
Two and a half months from the end of the year, they better hurry, is what I'm looking at.
It's in February.
That would be where I would bet.
I think February.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
It'd be nice to know, why don't we ask that question? The city.
Well, when we have our city county thing here, just put them on the spot.
And I'm not sure who's involved that's actually coordinating the move. I mean, when everything's said and done and they say, okay, it's done, let's move, everybody grab a lamp.
Right.
That's not gonna happen in a week, you know, that's gonna take.
No, those 911 consoles take two people, yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna take a while.
When they moved out of that, when DHS boomed out of that building over there, and they said, well, the air conditioning doesn't work anymore. And I said, for God's sakes, you've got vines growing out of the ceiling registers and everybody's gotta have, I mean, they have so plugged up over there, there's no way that the HVAC system is gonna work.
Yeah.
And they had more, I said, this isn't your home, this is your place of work. And these little cubicles were completely filled with stuff and they couldn't get any air to them.
Yeah, we.
I'm glad they moved.
We experienced that.
Yeah.
We get a lot of different staff that tries to create their home at work, you know, whether it's getting up on a chair and taking lights out or having their plants.
We used to have to build.
Going around fire sprinklers and.
We used to have to build diverters for those because of, oh, it's blowing right down on me. Well, that's what the perforated does, it breaks that air up. But we had a diverter that we used to make in the sheet metal shop. And Jeff was over there, this one lady was really tough, this is a story, by the way, of Mr. Markville. And it was, she said, what do those cost? And he said, well, they're $32 and for this one here, this is the standard. She goes, how much is the deluxe? He said, well, I got the signature series for $48. But the state of Oregon has to pay for the signature series, Alvin will handle the regular ones. She said, I want the signature series. So Jeff went out and got his felt pen and he signed it.
Yeah.
She went absolutely ballistic. He was just joking around. You want the signature series? I'll get that for you. This is funny.
That would have made YouTube if it had happened in this era.
For sure.
Somebody would have.
So, just to be clear, we're gonna move towards tearing down the Park Street?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Just the house.
Just the house.
House and garage, but not the shop.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
There is a garage and a carport.
Yeah.
It might be worth giving a notice to the neighbors.
Yeah.
So they're aware. It is a private residential street.
911 would go down and put their own fire out.
Or at least the neighbor, not the rest of them.
And I believe it's next week. I think it's next week that the city's having their training meeting, so hopefully after that.
You'll know.
Yeah.
Good.
Yep. Well, let us know so we know.
Good luck in catching a burn day.
Yeah, really.
There's a few around.
Now the fire season's over, you know, everything's a burn day, no burn day.
Yeah. All right.
Keep the spot cleared up.
No burn. So yeah, I guess we'll bring something from the work group to the board.
Yep.
I was gonna catch up with Arthur, I was gonna try to catch him today on what happened last week.
Okay.
Yep, I think they're ready to say something to the board.
Okay.
Yep. What do you guys think? We're heading this direction. Yep.
Okay. All right. Good deal.
And we should invite him to the future meetings, Arthur. Arthur? He's good to have around at a movement meeting.
He's supposed to be there. He usually is there.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah.
It wasn't a guest appearance. He's on.
No, he's on.
He's a good piece.
He is.
Yes. Yep. All right, thank you.
10:30.
Great, thanks, man.
Next up on the agenda is the NACO Immigration Reform Task Force. We got an email from Bob Strasser, and he sent this to George Murdoch, who is the Umatilla County Commissioner, also on the National Association of Counties, kind of immigration and dealing with that. And so the recommendation is come up with a guest worker program so that we're not losing migrant workers that Oregon so depends on and are Well, a friend of mine has, I don't know, 50-some thousand acres of wheat up in Condon area, and they cannot get locals to work. They can't. They've tried. They won't work. And so they are dependent on migrant workers to get their work done. And what we're finding is many of the ranches or farms are in the same category and said, you know, if you're going to get tough on immigration, then have a worker program that makes it possible for workers to come and work and do what they have to do. That's my summary of what, I haven't read this all, but he sent it out to us and wanted to see if this is anything that you guys had. He wanted to have the material as a regional Jackson-Josephine County workforce partnership. And so he's reached out to us already and Jim Fong from Workforce Partnership. So I just thought you guys would want to be aware, so that's why I asked for it to be added to the agenda.
Well, I haven't had a chance to read it. What's he, is he saying that we're coming up with some sort of solution outside of what the federal government's doing?
He read a news article that NACO's Immigration Reform Task Force and George Murdoch's on that, that they were doing something locally, I guess, that he wanted them to be aware of. So I wasn't aware of what we were doing locally.
I read the whole thing, and that's a couple of issues involved with it, but I don't know. I got the same, when I read it, I thought, are we trying to do something alone, standalone as the state of Oregon, have a state of Oregon guest worker program different from
right.
the federal guest worker? But it gets all the way down into, oh, the kids are in cages. It gets pretty political in here. Democrats have dug their heels in on demands for a path to citizenship, and Republicans object to anything with a path to citizenship. I mean, then he says, this is not a Democrat or Republican issue.
Is this Bob's statement, or is this the federal thing?
This is the immigrant, an assessment of current immigration and labor crisis from the perspective of an immigrant, businessman, and home builder. And that's this Mr. Ayala. It's his thing. And he goes on, and it, talking about having visas. To allotted to Mexico and neighboring Central American countries. Visa allotments may be issued to each country based on economic need, population measures, and in collaboration with the United States immigration policy. Visa program, it said many of these individuals don't, and they don't have access to this and access to that, but I think the big thing that everybody's been concerned about in immigration is the right to vote. When do you get the right to vote? And right now, anybody coming across and they issue you anything, you're going to get all the stuff that is needed. You're going to get school, healthcare, dental, eyes, get your teeth fixed, new shoes, and all of the other stuff when you come across the border. And also, a lot of it is when do they get a card and a right to vote? They're not citizens. We're issuing right to vote to driver's licenses who aren't citizens now. So I don't know, I think that was one of the things that if they get that straightened out, I think they'll be a mile ahead, but nobody seems to be able to agree on that stuff.
Well, and if he's just saying we have a need in Oregon or Southern Oregon for some sort of migrant worker program, I get that.
Yeah.
And we can express that need to whoever sets policy,
but
we're not setting policy.
I'm just saying that's a pretty good assessment. Because as you say, why don't we reach out to, what's his name up there in Wheat Country?
Well, George Murdoch is our rep from the Association of Oregon Counties to the National Association of Counties on this topic. That's why he was emailed. And so Bob was saying, this is what was presented to us at RBCC, thought you should be aware of it. We'd like it to be a Josephine Jackson regional thing, is mentioned, and why he brought in Workforce Partnership and so ready. So I just wanted to make sure it was on your radar.
I think we have a need from the forestry side of it because we hire workers to plant our trees for us, correct?
Don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
Well, I think there's a migrant worker issue for our harvest time.
Pears.
For
cannabis and
hemp and all that, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for the information, man. Is there any action to be...
It doesn't look
considered
like
there's
any
in the
action.
Future, right?
I think one of the big concerns nationally is you pay, right now, the illegal side of it, you pay in cash. And when you pay in cash, they put that in an envelope and send it to their family in Mexico City. Our Federal Reserve notes left the property. They left the building. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see at some point in time when cash hits the border that it is transferred into pesos. You can send your pesos out. Keep our Federal Reserve notes here and try to make sure they go into pesos when they leave the country. As an issue, as an
right.
opportunity to all, lower the national debt.
Because they really seem like federal
is
issues.
Money.
It is. And he was saying at the federal level, you need to be aware of this. This is what we're trying to do locally or how it's impacting us locally. But we weren't really in on the conversation. So I thought, I saw the email.
Gotcha.
So I thought I'd make sure we had
is
a conversation.
Is Bob Stosser asking for our
nope.
support?
Not asking for anything.
No.
He just emailed
just information.
Us.
Okay. I can understand.
Right.
So wanted you to be aware. Let's see.
I just wanted to be on the record that I'm hungry. Did I skip breakfast?
I have a half a bagel on my desk that I can offer you.
No, because then I'll be even hungrier. That sounds like a primer.
I have a protein shake in my fridge I can offer you.
There you go.
Bagel just a primer for a maple bar.
Just a primer. That's right. For some sort of big burrito.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so next up is liaison report. Let's see. We're going to have a LADPC. Oh, this week I can't go. So I have two memorials on Thursday. So Rich McMillan, our deputy that passed, his memorial's at 11 up at Hole in Hole.
Did one of our fair board members pass?
Yes, Dan,
Dan
Shepard.
That was a surprise, wasn't it?
Dan Shepard.
Wasn't
yeah.
he just over here being chipper?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was so sad to hear that.
I think he had some health issues. Danny and I grew up together.
Oh, yeah.
He's part of triplets.
Okay.
So I'll find out from his sister what to do.
So,
his deal's Friday.
Yeah.
So Arthur was telling a story yesterday that he came out here for a meeting and Dan was sitting out in the hallway and Dan all of a sudden pulls his shirt a little bit and he's got a taped up
Shepherd?
Wound about
yeah.
this
Whoa.
Thing and he's 10 days out from open heart surgery and he's
wow.
like, why are you here? I'm fine. I'm feeling good. Got
you're
a meeting to do.
You're supposed to do that.
Supposed to be out.
Are you?
Yeah.
So Bernie
yeah,
Sanders
you're up
is
and
walking
walking
out
the,
now.
The day you get out, that
right.
they crack you open.
You're supposed to be traveling
well,
around
why
town.
Why don't we get out of bed and go walk to the bathroom?
You're not supposed to drive for a while
no.
after that.
2 months.
Okay. He was
that
10 days out.
That killed me. That really
the
killed me.
The driving part was the hardest part.
But you're supposed to. You're supposed to get up and walk that
yep.
day.
Isn't that something? They used
you
to make you sit around for 2 weeks, and now it's like, hey, get up.
Yep.
Get up. Get up.
You get up.
Walk down the hall.
Move around.
Yep.
Mel and Rowena Kerber are two amazing people that they were 4 days shy of their 73rd anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And Rowena passed away.
Oh.
And her memorial's at 2. Well, that's Lipsick is at 2 o'clock on Thursday. And so I don't know if you would
could,
be interested
I could
in going.
I could sub for you on Thursday, yeah.
I don't know what the agenda is right now.
Do we have it? An agenda?
As soon as I send.
So, are any of you guys, so as liaison DA, it's kind of curious because one, I remember when I brought up that I had heard that Ryan was leaving and you were like, oh yeah, that's old news. And, but I read in the paper on Wednesday that the Attorney General's office has assigned a interim. Were,
mm-hmm.
but has our office been officially notified or any communication with the
None
county?
None whatsoever.
And
to
so,
mine, to me anyway.
I
you
haven't
either,
heard
yeah.
To who they choose.
I don't know.
Okay.
Somebody from
something.
Up north as an intern.
Yeah,
thing.
So I mean,
oh.
but there's somebody
here working.
Supervising county staff.
Yep.
That is not a county.
Maybe
we're going
to bring him in for a little meet and greet.
Exactly. So I just thought I'd bring
yeah.
that up as far as.
It'd be nice to meet him.
Read it in Wednesday's paper.
Wouldn't be swell. That'd be really swell.
It would be swell.
We'd like to meet you. That'd really be swell.
I can reach out to him and invite
yeah.
him.
Either individually
tell him
or
to come
all
down,
together.
Tell
and
him Lily will give him a bagel.
That
he
was,
we have
the
a bagel.
Half was only offered to Darren.
She's got her eyes back
on.
Yeah.
A,
like, I'm still hungry, but I was trying to help a brother out. So Dan's memorial's 3 on Friday
yeah.
at the
yeah.
Florida Road. Okay. I have drug court graduation before that, so I'll be coming from drug court graduation to get there. But
is that like Thursday at 2, the Lipsick thing?
Lipsick is Thursday at 2 over Marie Hill.
Okay.
But The only, if they ask us why we sent back the bylaws, remember, because it doesn't reflect what we're actually doing. So, did you see Dan's map on Friday that had all the towns?
Yes.
Every county around us has multiple incorporated cities. We have two. So, in practice, what we had done with our elliptic is made sure that instead of the cities picking a representative from the city staff and a representative from the mayor or council, we allowed both cities to have a representative, and we allowed both victims assistance programs, which is Illinois Valley Safe House Alliance and the Josephine County Women's Crisis and Support. They each have a representative on the Lipstick because there's only two cities. So instead of one city having all the representatives, we just said you can both have the same amount. Mm-hmm. And so the bylaws didn't reflect that. So 5 years down the road, might not know why both City of Cape Junction and City of Grants Pass have membership there when the minimum is just that they can pick a representative from the cities. But the ORS says, but not limited to. So we exercised the not limited to a couple years ago.
Which was wise, I think.
Yes.
It's good to have those people in the room.
But the bylaws shouldn't just say what the ORS says. It should say what we in practice actually do. Since there are two incorporated cities, Josephine County Lipstick has elected to allow both cities to have equal representation, that kind of thing. So if they ask, what, because remember that came before us to move it mm-hmm. forward and we sent it back? Because mm-hmm. We didn't want it to get down the road 5 years from now and say, oh, there's questions about that. So
right. Why are you here?
I also got word yesterday that justice reinvestment has not been fully funded for every county ask. So
I thought ours was better than the rest of the state. I thought we got that quarterly report. I thought I remember that we lucked out in that and everybody else is bumming.
That was last year's monies. So mm-hmm. this year's application.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. Here we go. Commissioner Bozovich from Lane County says he can give I had asked for an update on the CJC grants for justice reinvestment on Monday at our public safety meeting. And he says, the full CJC does not meet until the 16th, but the Grant Review Committee has already gone through their process. Four counties are only going to receive a one-year provision for funding, and one county did not get funded at all.
Whoa.
Wow.
Tillamook County
did
not get any funding through the formula funds. 15 counties applied for downward departure funds, and no one got full funding. But all 15 were recommended for partial funding. So where
we don't know what that partial is.
We don't know what that partial is. So
when do we know that?
They meet after the 16th.
So isn't this like classic government where you start a program and you fund it and then you start defunding it?
Then you defund
and
pass it.
Why aren't you guys still doing it?
Well, you know, based on a funding formula, there should be a pattern of what we know to ask for. We know that 10% of the funds have to go to victims assistance. We know that 3% is going to go to this research mechanism. We know, you know, this and that. But we put the ask together. So, but I was going to forward this to Nate. I got this last night. So I wanted to make sure that we were kind of aware. Because
yep,
there is an impact potentially of one of the positions we asked for, and that was a lipstick coordinator. And it was valuable enough to Douglas County that they funded it fully without justice reinvestment dollars.
Cut us out.
And they took the full position.
But it was interesting to listen to Tim Freeman the other day. And, you know, we're going to fund this, we're going to fund that. But they're $20 million upside down. I don't know how they're getting the money to do all of this.
I don't know. But so I don't know what that impact will be on Lipstick on Thursday.
Right.
So I just wanted to give you a heads up that information.
They may be looking to me for something.
As a co-chair of public safety, they were asking if I had any topics I want brought up. And I asked, when are the rewards for justice reinvestment going to be awarded? And this was the response I got. So I wanted to...
We'll wait to see what the 16th brings.
Hmm.
Nate's about as good an advocate as you're going to find, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Sure.
And a stellar executor. as well.
He's got a good track record up there. Mm-hmm.
He does.
I need to get out of here fairly quick, so I'm on my way to.
I don't have any matters.
I don't either.
Or liaison reports. So.
One other thing, DeBello. Yesterday we got 6 years of reports uploaded. I came in and spent most of the afternoon.
It's DeBello.
Disadvantaged business enterprise liaison officer. The special role I get to be as an independent from the airports for that project through the FAA. So I got to spend my time yesterday typing in spreadsheets.
That's good. That'll keep you busy and out of everybody's hair.
That's right. Mr. No Hair.
Commissioner No Hair.
Okay, so additional, that was all I had, is that to see if you'd be willing to cover Lipstick Thursday afternoon, and I probably will be late to LADPC in the morning because I'm going to try to get both memorials in. Nothing like three memorials in 2 days.
Is tomorrow or Wednesday in Cape Junction?
It is tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, okay.
So if you
airport
have...
Airport tonight and Wednesday tomorrow.
I'm out there tonight as well on the KXCJ radio.
Oh, yeah.
I guess you both have done that.
Oh, yeah.
With Keith.
Yeah. I tried to ask him what kind of things he wanted to know ahead of time, and he didn't tell me anything.
Yeah, bring your own.
Are you claustrophobic?
What?
Are you claustrophobic?
No.
Pretty good. Tight.
Okay.
It's a little tight.
Pretty tight, but
it's in the summer, it's kind of hot.
Okay. I was asked to give an update on mining advisory board. It'll be quick.
Yeah, I saw you were on there. So. Do you want me to stay out till you're done?
That radio thing was so. Pretty.
It's a notice.
Pretty lighthearted, and the hour goes pretty fast, so you'll just walk right there.
Yep.
Okay.
I reminded him when I walked out, I said, you do know you have an air conditioner out here. They didn't know that.
No.
He probably has a blown capacitor or blown fuse or something, and they put up with it. Nobody's there to take care of the building, I guess.
Yeah, it looks
I almost volunteered to go out there and see what's wrong with it. But then I checked myself. As soon, I was about ready to go.
I know how to fix that. But
I got in the truck and drove away.
All right, if you guys don't have anything else and you're hungry and you need to go, I am going to see about passing out. I'll give them to Annette to give them to you guys. I looked up a full month of agendas in February 2002 just to kind of see what the board did.
Right.
And I think it's just kind of interesting to see what I found in looking through several years of past things. There's hardly a topic we're dealing with that hasn't been addressed.
So there's nothing
once or twice in the last 20 years.
That's government.
All right, we're adjourned at 10:09.